And Joseph is kind of in the same situation. I mean, he's alone. Joseph is alone here. He's been sold by his own brothers. He's been sold by his own brothers into slavery. He finally feels like, okay, you know, I'm going to make the best of this bad situation. He's been sold to Potiphar now. And he says, I'm going to make the best of this bad situation. Well, he gets in there and he labors hard and he works hard. And he earns the Potiphar's respect so much so that Potiphar leaves him in charge of everything and doesn't even look on. And what happens? Some woman makes an accusation against him and he goes from top, or what he thought was the top, all the way back down to rock bottom again. But God's not done with him. God's not done with him. God builds him up there in the prison now. So in the prison, we saw that the prisoner there at the end of chapter 39, the keeper of the prison, looked not on anything that was under his hand because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. And so chapter 40 here now, we're going to start out and God's going to bring somebody into Joseph's life who's going to change his life. But it's not in Joseph's time. It's in God's time. We wonder, man, I wonder, all these years, there's people I've prayed for 20 years. And then there's people that I've prayed for less than 2 years. And I'm like, Lord, I don't understand it. But God's got a timing for things. God also got to remember, though, that God's not going to force anybody to be saved. Though I want him to, and I wished he would, God's a perfect gentleman. He's not going to force anybody to be saved. He'll put pressure on them. He'll try to persuade them. But he's not going to force them. In 20 years that I've prayed for some people, and they still haven't got saved. But I'm thankful for those that I have. Verse chapter 40 now. And it came to pass after these things. After what things? After those bad things that happened to him. After he had been built up, lowered down. Now he's been built up again. It says, now it came to pass again. So son, listen, you may think, no matter what happens today, whatever tomorrow may hold, God is still in control. He knows that he's got the devil do what's going to happen to bring in the tribulation, those 7 years of tribulation, the one world government. God's going to do it, but we're protected. Like Paul said, what are you going to threaten me with? Paul, I'm paraphrasing. Paul said, what are you going to threaten me with? Death? He said, to die is the gain for me. What are they going to threaten us with? Death? I mean, you know, we have heaven as our home. And it came to pass that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against his two officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. You know, see, that's how it is. Y'all know. Y'all been around a little bit. When you're in charge, you get the good things, but you also get the bad things. You know, kind of like in the military. There's sometimes it's good to be the peon in the group, because when leadership comes down, they come down on the leadership of the group. But now when they praise the person, that's who gets the praise. So, you got to take the good and the bad. So what happens? The chief butler and the chief baker's the one that Pharaoh comes down on for whatever it was. And he put them inward. In the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. You see that? God will bring people into your life through some bad circumstances sometimes to give you a chance to win them to the Lord. You just got to be ready. He brought them into the place where Joseph was bound. God's pointing out that he brought them into Joseph's life. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued to season inward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt.
which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them. Behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. And so this, when I think of this, it goes to the verse there in Peter, I think it is. He says, be ready to give an answer of all men that ask of you of the hope that you have. I think it's in one of the Peters, if I'm wrong, I'm sorry. But you can look up that verse. He says, be ready to answer, give an answer of the hope that you have to you. Listen, that's what Joseph said. You tell me what's going on, and I'll give you the answer that you need. Somebody's going to be putting your life at some point. You live long enough, and you're a Christian, and they're going to say, well, why did this bad thing happen to me? I don't understand. Why did this bad thing happen to me? Trust me, I had it happen to me. One time in particular, I told you about a man named Robert. I was 32 at the time. He'd come and work for me. He was 34. And he comes to me and he says, you can't convince me there's a God. He said, I've seen too much bad stuff happen in my life for you to convince me there's a God. And God, give me a chance. And I said, well, let me just talk with you a little bit, Robert. And God gave me a chance, and I just began to whittle on him and use the word of God and use times talking to him to where he said, what happened in your life that make you think that? He said, I'm 34 years old. He said, I've never been in church. He said, you ever met anybody like that? I said, well, probably, but I don't remember. But he said, I don't want to hear about your religion. I don't want to hear about God. And I said, well, let's just talk a little bit, Robert. And I would talk to him day by day. He would tell me a little bit about his history. His sister had been, something had happened to her when she was a child twice, been taken advantage of. When he was 18 years old, he was shot in the back, paralyzed for 2.5 years. His mom had committed suicide. And I remember those. I don't remember. I think he said some other things. And I said, Robert, I hate that all the bad things happened to you. I said, but did you ever think that maybe all that bad stuff's happened to you to get you to this point today where you would actually listen to what I have to say? And he had like a light bulb came on. Like, I never thought of it that way. So many people are just looking at the bad, just even like Joseph does. We look at the bad at times when, woe is me, I'm going through all these things. And I'm the same way, don't get me wrong. I've been going through a lot of physical pain lately and hurting. And I'm thinking, Lord, why am I going through this? But it may be that at the right time, somebody's going to come up that I can be a help to and help them get through because I've gone through this. Joseph's like, I didn't do this. I didn't cause this. I didn't do anything wrong to end up in this prison, but here I am. And sometimes as Christians, we may feel like that. We may think, just like Joseph, I didn't do anything wrong to end up in this prison. God, why am I here? We can't let the situation that we're going through keep us from being a blessing to those that God puts in our life. Joseph could have said, well, I could care less. You know what? You're here and I'm here. Hey, we're in prison. Who cares? But Joseph said, you know what? I'll tell you what. He said, God can give you the interpretation. They said, there's no interpreter. We've dreamed a dream. Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Rather than get down and say, well, you're right. I don't know nobody that interprets dreams. Joseph says, you know what, God? I know a God that can. Somebody comes to you and they said, there's no hope in this world. That all's lost. Everything's going to, we're all on the road to hell. And, you know, you've heard all, you can say, but let me tell you what God did for me. Joseph said, you know what? You're right. There ain't no interpreter around, but I know the one that can. That brings to mind Miss Carrie, that song. How's that song go? I know a man that can. You need to sing that Sunday then. I know a man that can, and his name is Jesus. Some call him Jesus. He's my dearest friend. Man, I love that song. And he's right. Joseph said, I know God. And God can. He said, tell me them, I pray you. And the chief butler told him his dream. Chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And in the vine there were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in his hand. And I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head and restore thee unto thy place. And thou shalt deliver a Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews. And here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. So he's still a little discouraged. Now he's making the most of it. He said, here, let me give you some good news. You know, that's like giving the gospel. There's two ways. You can give the gospel. You should give the gospel. I'm not trying to give the gospel a positive thing. We should. We should be positive and say, hey, Christ died for your sins, so you don't have to die in your sins. And Joseph said, don't forget me, the one that told you.
Don't ever forget the one that told you the truth. Remember that person. He says, remember me. So the chief baker, listen, so then now you get somebody else. Listen, the chief baker, verse 16, saw the interpretation was good. You know, somebody said, that ain't that bad hearing about heaven. Well, then some people, you got to tell them the truth about hell. You're on the road to hell. He says, listen, I know that you ain't going to like this. What Joseph's getting ready to tell him. He says now, chief baker saw the interpretation was good, and he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had three white baskets on my head, and in the uppermost basket, there was all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds that eat them out of the basket upon my head. And Joseph answered and said, oh, I can't tell you the truth because I don't want to offend you. That's not what Joseph said, is it? See, that's why as a preacher, it's not all, a lot of people think it's all, man, you just get up and scream, holler, and shout. Listen, it ain't easy sometimes to get up and preach from this pulpit and preach against sin like you know you're supposed to, knowing somebody out here in this audience is doing that sin, because you may offend them and they go out the door and not come back. But at the same time, I've got a responsibility to tell them. Joseph could have lied to him and said, oh yeah, yours is good too. I got good news for you. Joseph said, oh, I'm sorry, I got some. Listen, it ain't always going to be easy sharing the gospel. Sometimes you got to tell people the truth. Listen, there is a hell. There's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. But you got to repent of your sins. You got to turn from your sins. He says, listen, he said, Joseph answered, this is the interpretation thereof.
the three baskets of 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the bird shall eat thy flesh from off thee. That don't sound too appealing, does it?
Joseph could have said, oh yeah, I got good news for you too. Yeah, right. But Joseph said, I'm going to give you the truth. You know why? You know why you need the truth today? Because you need to get your house in order. You got 3 days to live and you're going to die. Joseph said, you need to get your house in order. You better get yourself right with God because you only got 3 days. At least the baker knew that he had 3 days to live. The Bible says, we're not promised tomorrow. No man's promised tomorrow anymore. We don't know what tomorrow may bring. You better get your house in order. Why is it important to tell people the truth? Why is it important to get up and thunder from the pulpit and tell people the truth of what the Bible says? Because somebody, listen, even today, there's people that may have woke up today that did not see tonight. There's people that will go to sleep tonight that will not see the morning come tomorrow. Why do we need to tell people the truth? Because people are dying and going to hell. Here in Rush County, in Ellis County, in Pawnee County, in Ness County, in Lane County, in Barton County, whatever county it is around, there are people going all across Kansas, all across America, and all around the world that are dying and going to hell. And the sad part is the majority of people that stand, the majority of men, it should be men, only men, but it ain't. But the majority of men that stand in pulpits and preach on Sundays won't tell people the truth. The majority of the people that stand in pulpits in this county will not get up and tell them people the truth of what it means to be saved, repent of their sins. I've got somebody in this town that, man, every time I come around, they ask questions. They ask about what we will. They ask about why we use kingdom. And I just keep chipping away. And keep chipping away. I'm thinking, Lord, just let the scales fall. If I just try to... it really don't matter. It does matter. It does matter. I do take a stand. While I'm here, I'll stand on this King James Bible. While there's breath in my lungs, by the help and grace of God, I'll stand on this King James Bible. I'll stand against sin. I'll stand against all this unrighteousness, this ungodliness in our nation. While there's breath in my lungs, while I walk this earth, by the help and grace of God, I'm going to stand for what's right, even if nobody else stands with me. I heard a man years ago saying, it's better to stand alone in truth than with the multitude in lies. It's better to stand alone in truth than with the multitude in lies. And I've been there on a job site. I've been there in a family where I'm the only one that's saved, where I'm the only one that believes what the Bible says. I'm the only one that preaches against sin. I've been there. Joseph could have said, it's okay, you know, maybe it's not going to be that bad. You know what? I know you're not saved, but when you die, Pharaoh takes your head, I'm still going to preach you into heaven because I just like you then. I can't do that. I can't do that. He said 3 days, Pharaoh's going to take your head. He's going to hang it in a tree, and the bird's going to eat thy flesh from off thee. He says now, let me finish up here. And it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants, and he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. You say, preacher, there's people I've told. There's people I've invited. There's people I've given tracts out to. And unfortunately, not all of them will. But you just keep praying. Listen, the Bible says God's word would not return void. You throw out enough seed, the Bible says, Psalm 126, I think it is, verse 6, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. God said his word will not return void. His word is also a form of seed. If the more seed we'll throw out there, the more people will invite, the more people will witness to, we'll see results. Now, is everybody witness to going to come? No. Did everybody Joseph witness to you? No. Did everybody that the Lord witnessed to get saved? No. If the Lord, God himself in the flesh, with the power of God preaching, could not convince them to be saved, majority of them, you and I are not going to. What we need to realize, and what I had to realize myself years ago, this has been one of the biggest weights off of you. You're not responsible for what they do with the Word of God. We're just responsible for giving them the Word of God. We're responsible for inviting them. We're responsible for giving them tracts. We're responsible for praying over them. But what they do with it, we're not responsible for. When you finally get to that point, it'll be like a weight lifting off of you. Not the responsibility. You'll still feel that weight of responsibility. But I can't make people in this church, no matter who's come through this church doors, and you've said, I can't make them live right. And I'm not going to try. I got enough trouble with the man that I see in the mirror every morning. That I ain't got time. I got enough trouble with the man I face every morning. I got enough headache with my wife that I love that I can't force her. I just can pray for her. My wife chooses to live right. My children don't get a choice while they live under my roof. They'll do right or they'll get out. But when you get to the point where you realize, I can't make people be saved. I can't force people to come to church. I wish the church was filled up every Sunday. I wish that we were packed out of here every single Sunday night, Tuesday night. I wish they were beating down the doors to come in. But it's not a rock concert. It's church. And unfortunately, more people want the devil's mess than they want of God's truth. But Joseph didn't hold back. He still gave them exactly what they needed. What God had told him the interpretation was. Joseph didn't hold back. When that, you know, it had to upset that baker. But Joseph said, you know what? You got 3 days. I'm going to give you the truth. I'm not going to lie to you. That's what you and I's responsibility are. We're responsible for giving them the truth. We can't make them live right. We can't make them get saved. No matter how many people walk through that door, I can't force not a one of them to get saved. If you tell people that I saved you, then you need to revisit the altar because I can't save no. I couldn't save myself. My first message I ever tried to preach, it wasn't much of one. I tried to preach on Mary couldn't save herself. You go read there when Mary has Jesus. And what does she have to do? She has to offer the sacrifice for her sins according to the law. For every male child, the Bible says, that opens the womb is holy, but the woman is still supposed to give 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons for a sacrifice. Mary couldn't save herself. You and I can't save ourselves. I can't save nobody. But we can tell them the truth, just like Joseph. He's in prison. Of course, he couldn't go much lower. But he stands before Pharaoh, and he gives Pharaoh the truth. And says, drought's coming. Bad times are coming. Well, that's what you and I got to do. We got to give people the truth. Father, I thank you for the time. These that are gathered here, bless tonight fellowship. Thank you for your many blessings here at La Crosse. These that have been saved, these that have been baptized, and I pray that, Lord, others would come. Help us, Lord, to continue, Lord, just like Joseph, no matter what circumstance we're in, to give out the truth. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.